You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Good to have you with us today. Welcome to church. This is our second of four services here. Today, 11, 12 services for Audacious Church on the day in all of our locations, and we love having you in the room. Great to welcome our locations as well. Geneva, Cardiff, Chester, Sheffield, Manchester North, Manchester South. Good to have you with us online and joining us in this moment. My wife, Sophia, she sends her love to you. I should have mentioned this last week. When we were in Australia 2 weeks ago, I left her there. Everything's good. There's no problems. Her mum has just moved it into a fantastic assisted living facility. So she's helping her mum kind of settle there. And so she's spending 6 weeks in Australia with her brother, with our nieces and nephews, visiting my mum as well today and things like that. While I was there, actually, at Christmas, just after Christmas, put a map up on the wall in my brother-in-law's kitchen. Full map. Gave her a dart. I said, "Hey, honey, throw this dart, and wherever it lands, I'm going to take you for a week in December." So she limbered up like Sophie kind of would do for an exercise like that. Threw the dart. Turns out we're going to be spending December behind the fridge at my brother-in-law's house. So hopefully that will be an okay holiday. They'll let us out to have a swim in the pool. Good. We're in our series, and our series is called... Thanks, band. Good job. Can we thank the band, please? How many of you are looking forward to when Joe can actually dance as well as just kind of sway on the bass there? Joe Cannon, with a surname like Cannon, man, you should be dancing and... Good. What are we talking about? Followers. Our series is called Followers, and we're looking about following Jesus. We're looking about discipleship. We're talking about that journey. If you remember last week, we talked about Jesus himself, the one we're following. Jesus, the man, the myth, and the... And the legend, the man, the myth, the legend, the man. We talked, actually, how can God be man and also man be God? How does that work? And so we talked about the Trinity. We talked about seven false errors regarding teaching on the Trinity and understanding Jesus fully God and fully man. We talked about the myth. We talk about the historical manuscript avalanche that testifies to the man Jesus Christ more than any other ancient figure of old. And then we talked about the legend, the impact that Jesus' life had on us. This week, we're just changing tack slightly, but we're still focusing our attention on Jesus. A few weeks ago, maybe just a few weeks ago before Christmas, I was going down to London. I was going down to Parliament, and about 2 weeks before I was due to catch the train to go to London, my son said, he goes, "Dad, I need to go to London because I need to renew my Australian passport." So I said, "Well, why don't you jump on the train with me?" And we kind of looked at the tickets. Tickets were about 2 weeks in advance to get to London and back. They were 460 quid. Now, I'm not opposed to taking public transport. However, when that ticket price is like a mortgage payment or whatever it is, it's like, nah. So we drove, right? We drove to kind of like, I think North London or somewhere like that. We stayed in North London overnight, and it was cheaper to drive, stay in a hotel. And then we got up early the next morning, and we're driving through North London, through a part of London that I've never been to before, and kind of reached a part there where my satellite navigation device said, take the third exit off the roundabout. You've had these moments where you look, you want to follow the information, the data, but you're looking at the roundabout, you're looking at the map, and you're going, which third exit? Is it the one before the petrol station, the one after the petrol station, or is it that lane that looks really illegal? I don't know which way to go. And it's usually at that point you begin to realize that information and data is okay, but the best thing is when you have actual guidance from a person. A person who says, "Glenn, I've got you. I know where you're going." Yet not the illegal one, not before the petrol station, after the petrol station. That's where you want to go. You want to go that way. And we are definitely living in a day, an age like that, where we're overwhelmed by information, which is helpful, but guidance is better. Now, here's the thing, right? We are definitely living in a season and have been maybe for 20 or 30 years where the mantra is this: find your own truth. Find your own way. Find your own path. What works for you doesn't work for me, but that's okay. We'll just agree to disagree. And so what's happening is this, is that people are looking and people are searching, and we're in a time and a day where people are wondering, are trying to find the right path, and they're trying to find the right way and the right truth. And the problem is this, is we are actually factually research-backed that we are living in a more anxious day now than ever before in the history of humanity. Anxiety is through the roof. We have anxiety at all turns. People are anxious. That's why people are so angry. Just post on social media. People you don't know will say things about you and to you and talk about your parentage and your background, and you don't even know them. Well, what has elicited this anger? The answer is this: anxiety. Because deep down, friends, there is a question that people are asking, and the question people want to know is this: is am I on the right path? Is this truth really the right truth? How do I know that if what I've got is what I've meant to have, and I don't know what to do? And so we have anxiety that's increasing. Read Jonathan Haidt's book, The Anxious Generation. He talks about the facts and the figures associated with why people are so angry today. Why medicines are bought and sold more. Why mental health usage is there. And we should be using mental health usage. Please, I'm not against that. But it's testament, friends, that anxiety is on the increase. Where's the answers? Where's the truth? Where's the way? And in the midst of that, Jesus steps in and he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, hey, everybody, I need to let you know something. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he says, no man, no woman comes through the Father, eternal life, except through me. Now, this is loaded with so much stuff. We're going to take three thoughts. He says here, really simplistically, he says, I am the way. I am the way. Now, everybody's looking for the way. People in this room, we're looking for the way to get rich. The way to be happy. What's the way to have peace? What's the way to have rest in my soul? Hey, I need to know, help me find the path to finding the right spouse. I need the way to have a happy marriage. Help me find the way, I need the way so that I can raise my kids still loving them and not everybody's looking for the way. Everybody's focused. And even this morning when you came to church and you had to find the way. This morning I was coming to church. I had to go a different way to the way I'd planned because something had happened on the way. So I had to find another way. We're all looking for the way. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the old part of the Bible, here's what happens is God's people had to follow a set of rules and regulations and laws. In other words, Andy, you have to do this, 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 and this. And if you do that and you hold to it without breaking any of those rules, then you will find the way. But the problem is this. The problem is that way never really reconciled man with God. It was fundamentally flawed because none of us are able to keep the rules and the regulations that point the way to God. And so Jesus steps into the middle of the picture. Jesus comes and Jesus says this. He doesn't point the way. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you directions, go that way. He says, you know what? I am the way. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to follow me. Follow me because I am the way. I am the one. I am God and I will take you to God if you just follow me as the way. Jesus doesn't point. He is the way. Now, it is the role of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. We talked about this last week. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. So whenever we're feeling conviction for our wrongdoing or we need guidance, the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. The Son gives glory to the Father. The Father glorifies the Son, the Bible says. We talked about this last week. But make no mistake, Jesus doesn't point the way to salvation. Jesus, the Bible says, he is the way. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, we have this amazing passage. It says these words. It says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. In other words, friends, the road well-traveled, most traveled, popular opinion and ideology. You follow that, and the Bible says that it actually, go back to the verse on screen, it actually goes back to a path, a journey that leads to destruction. For broad is the way, and wide is the path. And many people follow in it. But then the passage goes on in Matthew 7 and it says this, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life and only a few find it. Listen, church, make no mistake. Christianity is exclusive. My barber was wrong recently when he says, well, Glenn, all roads lead to God. No, they don't. I gotta tell you that the God of other mainstream religions is not the God of the Bible. You have to hear this, church. The Bible says that Jesus is the way. And it is a narrow road. And it is a narrow gate. But here's what's beautiful about this narrow road and narrow gate. The moment you walk down that narrow road and through the narrow gate, the narrow road, the path, which is Jesus, and Jesus, who the Bible says is the gate and he's the door, the moment you step into that, you step into an expansive field. It's an expansive field of God's blessing and his hand upon your life. And life begins to look different, which is why thousands of you in Audacious Church who become Christians over recent years, I stand on the door, you come up to me. Happened after the last service. Someone came up to me and said, you know, I was broken. I had addictions. I had all these challenges. I tried everything I could in counseling and self-help and going to clinics. But it was only when Jesus did it. Because he's the narrow road. And he's the narrow gate. Which means, friends, get this, the party is not on this side of the gate, in the broad road, where everyone is partying. The party is when you get through the gate. If I was the devil, I'd tell you being a Christian is boring. If I was the devil, I would tell you that to be reverent needs to be quiet and somber and boring. If I was the devil, I would tell you that hell is the party, but heaven is just for old, ancient people and things like that. But if I was you, I would read the book. And you will discover that is not how God, that is not how the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is experienced and described. It's not that. You see, Christianity is not about finding the right route. It's about following the right shepherd. I'm following the shepherd. I'm following the shepherd. Recently, just like a few weeks ago, I was driving through Derbyshire, late night, raining, visibility reduced, no street lights, and my phone stopped working. It glitched in the GPS. I did not know where I was going, but there was a saving grace. In front of me, friends, there was a car with taillights. And you know what I thought? I thought, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm glad that car does. At least I hope so. And without tailgating, I locked in on the rear lights of the car. I followed the light. I followed the light on a path and on a journey I've never been on before, but get this, by following the light and not being confused by the storm and what was happening outside my circumstances, the light got me to my destination. Come on, you know what that's like, don't you? Jesus says, he says, I am the way. But he doesn't stop there. He also says, I am the truth. Wow, now we have been living in a time when truth has felt flexible. Truth is up to everybody's own decision making. It feels flexible. Our truth is dependent on who we follow. Truth is dependent on trend. Truth is dependent on ideology. Truth is dependent on our emotions and how we feel at any given moment in time. And the problem is this, now get this, the problem with truth that is moving is that when truth moves, people get lost. And so what's happening is this, friends, is all of a sudden we're running this way with this truth, and after a while, the feelings kick in or something else happens. And so we run over here with this truth, and no wonder the world is anxious. Of course people are upset and worried and concerned and have anxiety going through the roof. It's because what's happened in this journey, friends, is we've taken our eye off the one who is the way and the one who is the truth, and now it's our emotions, it's ideology, it's popularity. All these sorts of things are starting to lead us, and so the issue that we end up in is we end up feeling lost. The psychologist Gad Saad, he writes an amazing book called The Parasitic Mind. He's not a follower in Jesus. It's an incredible book. He says this. He said, ideas detach from reality, reason, and truth, yet demand allegiance. These ideas don't nourish people. They consume people, feeding on our emotions, our identity, outrage, hollowing out meaning, coherence, and freedom. He says that to describe or define what he calls ideological pathogens. And he kind of takes this concept and looks at the concept of the spider wasp. The spider wasp is a wasp, it's not a spider. But what this wasp does is it finds spiders, lands on the back of a spider and injects the spider with a serum that paralyzes the spider. The spider is alive, but it can't move. And then what the wasp does is it lays eggs on the back of the spider. Later, when the eggs kind of hatch, these little spiders, they end up eating the host. They end up feeding on the host. They end up consuming the host to the point where this spider that was injected, it actually dies because it's being fed on by other things. Now, here's the thing I want you to lay hold of. When truth is no longer grounded in reality, it doesn't liberate, it enslaves. Jesus is the way. The definite article, not a way, the way, exclusively. He is the way. And he is exclusively, the Bible says, don't argue with me, read the book. It says he is the truth. Australia just recently banned under 16s from accessing social media. I don't know if you saw that. And this week, I know that our parliament is discussing the same thing. I understand why they're doing that. I get it. I understand why. I think it's a governmental overreach, personally. I think social media should be the responsible of parents with their children. Don't give me a wave of hands, but I wonder how many of you parents are stressed out over children and phone access and social media and different things like that. Truth gets lost. Let me say this about social media. I want you to lay a hold of this, that social media doesn't show you what's true. TikTok is not truth. Young people, TikTok is not the way that you find a spouse and live a successful life for God on His purpose. And yet how many people allow social media to be the thing that determine life's choices? You're like, what? You're watching someone who you don't know and they don't know you. You don't know anything about their life behind the scenes. And you're letting this random dude in Colorado tell you the way you should live your life, but you have got no idea about the skeletons in his or her closet. I mean, these actors who've been married 72 times, then telling us how to do married life. It's like, yeah, you can move on, son. I want to talk to Dave and Ann Adams in our church. In their 80s, still married, still walking. That's how I want to know. But the problem is this, is social media, you need to hear this, doesn't tell you what's true. It tells you what you've clicked on. According to well-documented, the algorithms of social media, and all it does is feed your worldview. That's why people can't handle when people disagree. It's because social media has given us an information and data overload, but meanwhile, our worldview has actually got smaller, and yet our opinions are getting louder. And so what's happening is this, we're looking and going, well, where's truth? How do I find truth? What's the answer look like? And Jesus is different, friends, because Jesus doesn't say, I teach truth. He says, I am the truth. That's completely different. In other words, truth is not some far distant concept. Truth is a person. He's a person you can talk to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hey, Lord Jesus, I am in the middle of it right now, but I pray you would help me not be influenced by social media and influenced by what those other naysayers say. Read the book of Job, by the way. I don't want to do that. Jesus, would you reveal truth to me? Help me to walk close with you so I would know. You know you're walking in truth. When things happen and you just feel this agitation, you go, ooh, doesn't quite line up. Doesn't quite feel right. More than feel, it's just something cognizantly, it's just something just not quite right in this world of mad truths. Come on, we have lived, we've watched the news, friends. We go to the schools, our children went to the schools, and some of the stuff that we have been taught in our education systems and even in churches, and you look at it and you go, what? It's like society says, this is true. And we go, yeah, okay, that's true, because we don't want to be canceled. But then when we put our head on the bed at night and go, yeah, that ain't true. I mean, I've read my books on science and theology. I've read scriptures. I've studied biology. I've done ethics. I've done morality. I kind of know where truth sits, and I'm hearing the world say one thing. And the reason it happens is this, is because everybody's looking for truth. And yet truth is not an ideology, my friends. Truth is found in a person. Jesus. If you want truth, go through the narrow gate. Now, the confronting thing about Jesus' truth is this, friends, is that what he does is he helps us to understand what is untrue in our lives. If you're up for that, then you can walk the path of truth. And you can know what it is to walk with Jesus in Jesus' name. And here's the surprising thing about Jesus' truth, gospel truth. Let me tell you what this is, folks. Just if you're on your phone, just put it down just for 3 minutes. Let me set you free from something. Truth today is dependent on feelings. It's dependent on lots of different factors. But sadly, even in church, truth brings shame. And so what happens is this, is because we live in a social media world of perfection, and before that, the magazine world of images in magazines of perfection, what happens is this, listen all too much, is we present an image of ourselves of perfection, but meanwhile, behind the scenes, our life is falling apart. And sadly, Sadly, in a place like a church where I should be able to go up to Andy and I should sit with him as a brother and I should be able to say, Andy, I'm walking through this. I got this thing. I've got this addiction. I've got this habit. I've got this pain. I've got this hurt. Instead of doing that, I don't want to do that, because if I tell Paul about my addiction and I know the addiction is wrong, then it brings shame, as Paul then decides that he's going to chat to a few others about it, and shame increases. And so what happens is this, in church, not our church, you're perfect, but the next service, what happens is we make liars out of ourselves. Because we bring the perfect, polished version of ourselves on a Sunday. But Monday to Saturday, our life is falling apart. Because we haven't got a sister and we haven't got a brother who we can sit down and talk with. So here's my pain and hurt. The truth brings me shame. You know, every so often in Manchester, we have a gun amnesty. Did you know that? Maybe some of you have made use of it over the years. And the police are like, hey, bring your guns to the police station. No questions asked. Bring your gun, Chris. Drop it off in the bucket. You can go home, type thing. I want to declare over this church a shame amnesty. We're not true because we feel shame and pain. But this is not gospel truth. Jesus says in the Gospels, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Don't you want that? Come on, I said, don't you want that? Don't you want to have this Christian life free from that anxiety and that pain? Now listen, everybody, don't queue up and see me. I ain't got time to see all of you, okay? My life is not that short, but there are people in church. There are brothers and sisters. There are brothers that you can walk with. And that's why we say, get on team and get in a small group. Because what that does is it puts you into a place where you can actually sit and look somebody in the eye and say, hey, I need to tell you what's going on. Paul, just get ready. I am going to vomit my life on you. Now, let me tell you something, absolutely, 100%. The Bible says this, gossip is as a sin of witchcraft. Did you know that? So, if I tell Paul about my life and he goes over here and he talks to Derek about my life, you know what you've done, Paul? Witchcraft. Because we're chatting. Hey, did you hear? Did you hear? Oh, I'm telling you. I shouldn't tell you, but I'm telling you just so you can pray. It's true, right? And so we don't tell anyone. We're walking with our Sunday image of perfection and a Monday, Saturday of life is in chaos. But Jesus says, no. I'm truth. I'll set you free. Let me guarantee you something. When you talk to our pastors in our church, they will not talk to other people about it. They won't. If your small group leader, if you tell something to your small group leader and your small group leader says what you say to them to other people, then you come and tell us. In fact, come and tell me if one of the pastors in church breaks confidence in you. The only time we'll tell other people, Chris, is if it's illegal. We're obliged under law. Okay. Yeah, really. Yeah. But truth is freeing. It's liberating. And our problem is this, guys. We just end up not in the brotherhood or the sisterhood, and we just don't have the relationships that we could have. There's going to be 4,500 plus people in Audacious Church today. Are you telling me that you can't find a brother or a sister to walk through this life with? And I get it. I get it. I get that it takes time. Justin and I have known each other 30 years. I actually trust him wholeheartedly. I trust him. If I was in a war, I would want him next to me.
Justin, my gun's not working, help. I'd give my gun to Justin, he'd drop it on the floor, I'd pick up something, I don't know. Freedom. Jesus says, I am the way. And he says, I am the truth. The band are up, they're saying, get off, Glenn. And the last thing is this, he says, I'm the life. Can I just dispel a myth? We talked about myths last week. Jesus did not die to give you a better lifestyle. Please don't be so poverty-minded and crass that you bring Jesus' death on the cross down to your ability to have a new car. The greatest blessing is that Jesus Christ died for you. He loved you to death. He loved you through death so that you may actually have eternal life. He says in John 10:10, I have come that they, that's you, may have life and have it to the full. The world teaches us how to cope. Jesus shows us how to live. That's why you got to read the book, friends. Stop the TikTok and the Instagram, and the Facebook. Do it after you've read the book. On the way, I'm gonna show you, this is the tour guide, this is the map through life. He's the tour guide, he walks with us through this life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And here's what I want you to lay a hold of in this. Jesus' words, I'm the way and the truth and the life, doesn't happen in a vacuum. He's not on the stage preaching. He's not debating with critics and scholars in the schools of the day. He's actually sitting with his buddies, his brothers and sisters. He's sitting with his church family. Can I use that word? Maybe later this year, we'll talk about the concept of church hurt. And he's sitting with them and he's just said to them, one of you is going to deny me. One of you is going to betray me. And where I'm going, none of you can follow me. And Thomas is saying, Lord, if that's the case, if you're going ahead, how are we going to know which way to go? And Jesus responds with this. He said, you'll know which way to go because I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And you know what he does at that point, friends? He picks up some bread. You ever been to Israel and had their bread with their hummus? Amazing. And he picks up a glass of wine and he says this. He says, let's partake, knowing that I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's actually saying, you know what, church? You don't need a map. You just need me. So if you remember in the Old Testament, the rules and the regulations that nobody could keep pointed the way to God. And here's our problem in 2026. Many of us are living in the Old Testament. We're thinking like, I've got to keep these rules and I've got to keep these, obey these commands and I've got to do these things. And not even the greatest characters of the Old Testament could do that. And so God stepped in. He understood that it couldn't fully reconcile us. And so here is the answer, way, truth, and life. Jesus says this, come here. Can I be Jesus for a second? I know I'm not, I'm really not. He says, come on. Follow me. Sarah, come on, come on. Adam, come here. Justin, you can stay there. Come on, can you follow me? Follow me. This is what discipleship and followership looks like. Come on. Sorry to embarrass you. Just come follow me. It's not, hey, I need you to do 32 different things and if you do this and you can graduate and get to the next stage. It's not that. It's like, come on. Follow me. Let's go on this journey and this destination together. You see, what religion rules do is this, is rules bind you. You go to bed at night and think, I'm such a failure. I just can't match up. But this is New Testament. Go on, guys. Follow me. Because he is the way. And he is the truth. And he is alive. And the wonderful thing about this, right? I'm not Jesus now, I'm Glenn, okay? Is the moment I blow it, come here, Andy, because I've got a brother I can sit with a brother and I can say, man, I'm walking through this challenge. And followership means we're following him, but we're following here as well. We're walking together in a discipleship journey and we're able to share heart. And he's not going to take my conversation to the coffee table over there. He says, Glenn, I've got you. I'm going to pray with you. You want to fast about this, Glenn? Not really, but yeah, okay. And this is New Testament Christianity. This is followers. This is followers. Don't you want that? The rules and regulations are impossible to keep. That's the New Testament theology of Jesus Christ. I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. Colossians 3:4 says this, when Christ, who is your life, appears. Notice, Christ is not just a visitation moment on a Sunday. He's your life. Yeah, Chris Case said before, he said, you know, talking about nights of fire, gosh, going to church Friday night and Saturday and Sunday night, oh my gosh. And that's tough, yeah? I know if you're traveling and that sort of stuff, but when he's your life. In the Old Testament, we had a visitation of God. In the New Testament, we have an inhabitation of God. He doesn't want you to visit with him. He wants to inhabit your life because he's the way, the truth, and the life. Categorically, the reason people don't tithe is because Jesus is not their life. But when you get a revelation, he's my life, and he asks for me to return my 10%, then I return that to him knowing that what he can do with my 90% blessed is much more than I can do with my own mathematical calculations and budgeting with 100. I'm a faithful testament to that. 54 yesterday. I was once young, and now I am old. David says, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. So, you got a choice this week. Find your own way. Find your own truth. Find your own life. Find a friend. Or, let's do the Jesus model. Come on.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.